I'm going to ask you to forget the dry heat of these last several days and ignore the fact that we're very close to the triple-digit days of summertime. And I'm going to ask you to picture a cooler day, a cool December day, maybe not quite 50 degrees, with maybe even a light drizzling rain. And you're making your way to the temple, through the temple courts, and you find cover under that long, wide, high-columned porch that runs along the inside of the temple. Not the royal portico, not the one where the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, would meet, and maybe the place where Jesus overturned the tables of the money changers and those who were selling animals for sacrifice. Not that one, but the one across the 35-acre court of the Gentiles, Solomon's colonnade. You're there with other people to celebrate Hanukkah, maybe even to hear Jesus teach, because he's probably going to talk about God restoring Jewish worship to the temple after it had been halted by Syrian oppression and replaced by the worship of Zeus. This feast of dedication, the one that we call Hanukkah, was a big celebration, an important holiday, a happy occasion celebrated every year. So you're there, and as you pull your outer cloak a little more tightly against your body, and you step up and in between the columns and under the roof, there is Jesus. You expected to find him there. And there's a crowd around him. Again, not unusual. Crowds always seem to be around him. How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. It's not just that guy saying it. There are others chiming in. They're saying the same thing. They're so aggressive. And they have him blocked in. He's surrounded. Wait, I recognize some of them. Some of them are the same ones who were here talking with Jesus at the temple just a couple months ago at the Festival of Booths. Yeah, they said he was a crazy man. Some of them even said that he was possessed by a demon. You inch a little closer because Jesus is about to respond to them. I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I am doing in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe, because you are not my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. He's repeating himself. It's been a couple months, but I heard them demanding the same things. And he's telling them the same things now that he told them then. He's even using the same pictures. A shepherd, sheep, his closeness with the Father. Nothing's changed. And nothing's changed. He's been very open and honest with them, but they aren't listening at all. I don't understand. They're ignoring the miraculous things that he has done. They're ignoring the way he lives and the things that he says. It's like they've already made up their minds and they don't want to hear the answer. And they're so angry. And now they're picking up stones. Maybe it's fairly easy to see yourself there standing by a pillar, watching and listening and maybe feeling those kinds of things because you would definitely be on the right side if you were there, right? I mean, we're the good guys. The bad guys challenged Jesus The bad guys ignored what was right in front of their eyes. The bad guys picked up rocks to stone him after he said these things. And when I say bad guys, you know what I mean. It's the people who rejected Jesus, refused to trust in him, didn't follow him. But you do realize that without God stepping in and changing your attitude toward Jesus, you and I, we're the bad guys. And don't we even now, as his sheep, sheep of his flock, sometimes do we not act like his sheep, but we act more like those who were assailing Jesus at the temple? If you don't think so, just pause for a moment. Have you ever found yourself setting aside or just ignoring the good things that you have seen Jesus do in your life because you're obsessed with this thing, this difficulty, this trauma that's staring you in the face? And you stress, and you worry, and you fret, and you cry, and you try to fight your way through it on your own, and you don't pray, and you forget that he's there, and you don't place your trust in him, and you don't listen to the words when he tells you that he's always there with you through everything, that he uses all of the things to bless you. We're not so far removed from the men who ignored what they had seen in Jesus and didn't listen to what he said. Do you ever get frustrated by the things that you hear in God's word, the things that Jesus tells you? Or do you get angry? Or do you hear them, but you decide you're not going to listen to them? Yes, you do. It might be a particular thing that he teaches. Pick your doctrine. Guys, do you not like the spiritual responsibility that God has placed on you for here in church and in your home? Ladies, do you not like the division of duties between men and women that God has put in place? Do you think that communion should just be this open thing where everybody comes no matter what they believe? Do you completely ignore what God says about giving offerings to him, even though he has blessed you quite a bit? You don't think he's right when he talks about sexual issues of all sorts of kinds? Oh, I know for certain that you sometimes don't listen and you reject what Jesus says because you and I, we decide what is right. And even if you think you've navigated all of that big stuff pretty well, I'll remind you that you have heard him say not to sin in lots of ways, but you've chosen to not listen and sin in lots of ways. See, you and I, we don't always act like the docile, trusting lambs sitting there in Jesus' arms. A lot of times we're like a squirming puppy who isn't going to be held, who jumps out and runs all over the place doing whatever it wants. We don't like what we see when we press against the portico pillar and we watch and we listen to the enemies of Jesus. But if we're being honest, we don't like what we see in us either. Because some of it looks suspiciously like the attitudes and the behaviors of those people who attacked Jesus. What do you do with all of this, though? I mean, you don't go all in on your rebellion against Jesus, right? You don't pick up stones to sling at your Savior, do you? No, there is a difference. There is, because you are, as we're going to sing later, Jesus' little lamb. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Jesus meant that his sheep listen to his voice. They accept his words. They obey what he says. In a world with so many opinions and false information and fake news and unverified claims and AI this and that, that's passed off as real, there is a voice you can trust. Jesus said he would do the work of salvation for you, and he did it. You can trust him. You can trust when he tells you what is right and what is wrong in the eyes of God. You can trust him that he's got your best interests in mind, even when you're wandering and he's trying to call you back. You can trust him when he says, I forgive you. You can trust him when he said, this is the path that leads through this world to eternal life. We are his sheep. We do know his voice. And so we listen when he calls us to repent. And we acknowledge our sins. And we trust in his forgiveness, his sacrifice for sins. We believe him when he tells us that we have eternal life waiting for us. This is listening. This is trusting in Jesus. This is seeing Jesus as the good shepherd that we follow. As his sheep, you and I ought to find tremendous comfort in these words of our good shepherd when he talks about us having eternal life, saying that we'll never perish. Now make no mistake, this is entirely a gift. This is entirely God's grace. Probably the reminder that we sometimes act like those who attacked and oppressed Jesus there in the temple, the fact that we're like that probably reminds you that this is a gift, that we don't deserve this eternal gift from him. It's not earned by following him. It's the promise of that gift that leads us to follow him. This is listening and trusting. You know, Jesus was giving each one of those men who were pressing in on him and threatening him a chance to listen and a chance to trust. You know, his words were an invitation as much as they were a defense of himself. If any one of them would have listened to his words, would have thought about his words and his works and seen in him the Messiah that they didn't see before, then they would have become part of God's flock. We don't know if they did or they didn't. But what we do know is that Jesus didn't look at them simply as a crowd. He saw individuals. He always did. He always does. The same goes for you and me, people who are his sheep. See, you are not just sheep number 1032, kind of like you're waiting when you're waiting in the customer service online chat queue. No, Jesus knows you. He says he knows you. You have an actual relationship with him. And not just the Sunday morning you who shows up to walk through our courtyard and through our doors and among these pillars to worship him. No, he knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows what you need. He knows what you're going through and how that's going to turn out. He knows how you feel about the blessings that he has given to you. He knows when you read his word and when you listen to it. He knows that you trust him. And he's happy when you follow. And he's happy when you pray. And he's happy to know that you look forward with confidence to the day when you will see him face to face. You are one of his flock, but not just another sheep in his flock. When Jesus talks about you, he says it's him talking and you listening, him leading and you following, him promising and you trusting, and he makes a very strong promise to you here. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Picture him holding you with hands that were nailed to the cross, hands that will never let you go. You can trust all of this until you are eternally safe and sound with Jesus in heaven. As you await that day, keep listening and keep trusting. Amen.